Columbia. And I decided to talk about it because it's a part of the work here. And I know that Luke and I typically are the ones who go down, sometimes a few others, for various reasons, family reasons or something like that. But it is work that a lot of us have shared in for a very long time. Some of you for over 30 years. Some of you even longer if you're family members. But as a congregation, we exist in the form that we do as a bilingual congregation, mainly because of our common connection as a local congregation here to the entire work in the country of Columbia. So I want to encourage you, I hope this morning, by giving you some information about our visit. It's been over 3 years since I've been there. I think that amount of time, at least for Luke also, but because of the pandemic. Hit us pretty hard up here all over the country, but it hit Columbia even worse in a lot of ways, especially in the rural areas where the infrastructure doesn't exist to deal with a lot of the situations there. But I want to start right there. There. In 24th chapter of Acts, they passed through Pisidia. This is the end of Paul's first trip, or one of his trips. They passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work they fulfilled. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Now, what we did on this last trip really doesn't compare in any degree to the scope of what Paul did. But once in a great while, I like to use this text in order to say they got the church together. They considered it important for them to hear what had happened. And because we all have fellowship in that work, particularly in the wonderful spirit that has been a part of this group here for so many, ever since we've been together in any form, of allowing Luke and me and sometimes others the time to go and be an encouragement and do some teaching in those churches there. Sorry, I keep hitting the laser button. There we go. Rough map of Columbia. Rough because only a few cities are labeled there. But we began in Bogota, spent the first 3 days there. And then we went to a little town just north of Bogota called El Sopo. And then the Monday after that first weekend, I took off to Villavicencio. Luke and Josh went down to Popayan. And then later that week, we met out of Villavicencio, I went to Acacias and also to Fuente de Oro, the works that are going on in that area. And then later that week, colleague didn't show up. We met back together in Cali. While we were in Sopo, I don't know if you remember this picture or not. I think I put it in the bulletin once a few weeks ago. This is Alejandra, who, if all of the money comes in for her, will be here with us, Lord willing, in August, and will be one of the students at Florida College and will be working with us during the fall. She's extremely excited, had a long conversation with her and her parents, and she's really looking forward to spending some time surrounded by other Christians her own age. Almost none of these young students have that advantage where they live because most of these congregations are so far apart from each other. And getting together and going out to Culver's or to Chick-fil-A just doesn't happen because of the distances between all of these groups. Here's a picture of some of the folks there in El Sopo. You wouldn't recognize many of them, I'm sure. I can't either without the glasses. Alejandra is there in the front. And this is her mother, and her dad is someplace in there. But a very small group, but a very faithful group. They continue to meet And the town there is doing a really good job. In Bogota, Henry and Sonia, Henry is the preacher at the El Rincon Church. There are several congregations in Bogota. We were only able to get to two of those. Luke and I were both preaching here at El Rincon before the weekend. On Sunday, he went to another congregation, which I'll show in a second, and I stayed here and taught at this group. Henry is doing a fabulous work. I think one of the best workers I've ever known anywhere in any language. And Sonia is his a committed partner in that work, and together they're doing a wonderful job in the congregation there. Of course, while we were there, we got to spend some time with Natalia and Danny, and with Danny's parents, who again, both of them in tears, hugged me very tightly and made me promise that I would thank all of you who participated in helping them several weeks back after the death of Danny's older brother. Natalia certainly sends her love and greetings as well, and hopefully one of these days they'll be able to get back up here at least visit. This is Sunday morning, I think, in or maybe it's Saturday night, I don't remember, but it's in El Rincon where Henry Gerest preaches. You can see Natalia in the foreground in the white sweater-like thing. There's Danny's mother, Janixa. There's her father, and you can see just over his right shoulder, there's Danny as well. It's a really good group, and they've come back pretty strongly from the pandemic. And I think when everybody's there, they number right around 100 or so. And I wish you could hear them sing. They're not always singing the melody. They're trying. You may hear several different melodies, but it's rare I hear any group sing with more enthusiasm and more spirit. And that includes the kids. And so it was really an edifying time to be with them and to try to encourage them in the work that's going on there. Luke and Josh were at the San Antonio congregation that morning where Nestor and Clara Bermudez worked for many, many years. They're now living in Auburn, Alabama. But they happened to be there that weekend. And so we got to spend some time with them. And they have a nice meeting place there. And I wish I had more pictures, but I don't take many anymore because then I get home from a trip and I don't really want them and wind up deleting them. So I had to beg some pictures off of Luke to get a couple, several in here this time. But a really good congregation. That's where Daniel Vela's family worships. I don't think Daniel is in that picture. His mother is in the foreground in the middle here. But it's a really good group. So Luke was able to encourage them. And then I went to Villa Vicencio, and Wilson Balbuena has been preaching there for a good number of years. That's his wife, Ilma. He not only preaches there in Villa Vicencio, but he also goes to Acacias and also Fuente de Oro, a couple of small groups that he started several years ago. He preaches every Sunday there in Villa Vicencio. Then he gets on his motorcycle, and he goes to Fuente de Oro, which is a couple hours away. And usually she goes with him on the motorcycle, rain or shine. And they're well equipped for rain because it happens a lot. And so first they're in Vicencio, then they go a couple hours away every Sunday. And then at least one Sunday a month, he also preaches in Acacias. There's another brother there in the Vicencio church who helps by going to Acacias once in a while as well. So we took off. Henry and Sonia Jerez drove me from Bogota to Villa Vicencio, which by air, if you take a plane, it takes, 30 minutes or less, something like that. But they didn't want to fly. They wanted to be there with me. So they said, no, we're going to take you in the car. So it's about 3.5 hours by car because of the rugged mountainous terrain. So we drove there, and then they drove me back to the airport in Bogota at the end of our visit. But we did not get on Wilson's motorcycle. We were in Henry and Sonia's car driving to Acacias in the Puente de Oro. We left at 5:45 that morning. We got home about 10 or 10:30 that night. But it was a wonderful day. And I'll show you, well, I think I will. Here's the little meeting place in Nino Vicencio. It's not huge, but they've got a good group. That was some of them that night. It wasn't a Sunday morning, so we didn't have the pleasure of everybody being there. A lot of those folks work late in all places, not just Nino Vicencio. But they've got a really good work going there. Wilson's doing a good job of teaching and training and helping develop some of the other men to help them in the work. And it was a pleasure to be with them again. This is a little meeting place in Ocasillas, very long and narrow. Not a big group there, probably about 15-ish, something like that. Maybe 20 when everybody is present. But it was a pleasure to reacquaint myself with them. Then we went to Fuente de Oro. That's the meeting place. It's a great big former garage type area converted into a weight training business. But that's the meeting place. And so we got there and all of this weight workout equipment and all that, and this only shows part of it. But I said, well, that doesn't look like a typical meeting place for a church. And sure enough, it's not typical to us, but it serves them really, really well. This is a Wilson and a couple of the guys there putting up a screen so that we could use the overhead projector. It took about half an hour or so to get that strung up. So they had to get various ways and means of getting it up high enough. But so it was interesting to walk around and see how many of those weights I could not lift. But had a decent crowd for, I think that was a Tuesday morning, late Tuesday morning or early afternoon. A number there committed. They're still working, have several different Bible studies with people going on here in Fuente de Oro, which means fountain of gold, by the way. So I didn't see any of that around. But it was a very nice visit with those brethren there. And again, just a reminder that all of us here have fellowship with them, because we constantly, and for at least 45 years now, have been a part of that work from the very beginning. Let's see, Fuente de Oro. Then Luke and Josh were down in Popayan, and you may recognize Josh. And the guy immediately beside him is Mateo, and then his brother Marcos. Mateo, Lord willing, will also be here in the fall as a new student at FC and a member of the family here. Both Mateo and Marcos are supposed to arrive here in Tampa this Tuesday morning. They'll be a part of our camp over at FC, and then he'll have to go home and come back in on his student visa in August to be a part of the student body and a part of our family here. Very excited to be a part. Of course, Marcus eventually hopes to come as well. I guess I'll throw in here, I was telling Hope sometime yesterday that when I was in Sopo, one of the men there, who is one actually, his name is Cesar Romero. He is quite an accomplished artist in his area, but actually I think he's had artistic displays in different cities up here in the States as well. He's quite accomplished. The pandemic hit him pretty hard, but he came to me the last night and said, Royce, I want to talk to you about something. Well, I knew what was going to be. My daughter Eva has one more year of school, but is it possible for her to go to Florida College? And then in El Rincon, also in Cali, I think a total of five teenagers came to talk to me or to Luke or both of us about the possibility of joining Daniel Vela and Mateo and Alejandra in the future coming to FC as well. So I was at the point before the trip of thinking that line seems to be drying up, but it has refreshed itself, and we will see what the Lord provides in the future for them. But Mateo is very, very excited to be here. This is a picture of Luke and Popayan visiting. Are they meeting in the Osorio's house, or they have a separate meeting
place? Someone else's house.
Someone else's house is their meeting place. As you can see, the dog is not usually a church member, but he was present. And he turned his back on Luke. I'm not sure what that meant to say. Then we joined up in Cali for the last 3 or 4 days of the trip. of course, Carlos Julio, Robbie's parents, and Sarah Elena Ramirez there. And they're doing a marvelous work in Cali as well. Had a big crowd the Friday and Saturday nights, and a much bigger crowd even on Sunday morning. And this is a good part of that Sunday morning crowd. And you might see, some of you remember, remember Juliana Quintero there, and there's her dad and her mother and her husband. There's me and there's Josh. And I don't know if you recognize anybody else up there, but it's a really fervent group. They are in their own little meeting place. Juliana's parents and others, Carlos Julio, had visited here and saw our picture board. So that inspired them to do a picture board. So you can see it on the back wall over there. They're very proud of that. They did an excellent job with that. But very fervent group, very committed, very friendly, as is that part's true in all those congregations. But singing with enthusiasm. In fact, they were determined to learn. What's the name of the song?
Jesucristo conmigo va.
Jesucristo conmigo va. I mean, they, Carlos Julio was demanding in a very gracious way that Luke teach them that song. So every time we got together, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday, Luke went through that song with them, because it's not typical in Colombia to sing in harmonies, but they really wanted to learn that song, because the men have a part, the women have a part, and all of that. And it sounded successful. By the time it was over, if they can keep that up, I think they recorded it even so that they could review those things. But that was a song that was thrilling to them, and so they were very happy that Luke could do that as well. Well, there's a whole lot more I could say, but mainly I just wanted to give you some idea, some visual idea of where we were, who we were with, because all of those are connected with us in the work that we do here and do with them. But remember this passage in John 4, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows, another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Now, that doesn't apply 100% to us, but the principle of it does. Some of us were blessed to be a part of that work from its very inception 45 years ago, but all of the hard work has been done by those Christians on the ground there in Colombia. Luke and I go down, Wayne Galloway, others go down to encourage, to teach on specific subjects that they request, to be of assistance in any way that we can. And the result is, beginning with only one Christian in the country back in August of 1977, there are now at least 95 congregations, maybe two or three more than that, spread throughout the country, north to south. And there are thousands of Christians. All because Christians like you said, yeah, that's a good thing to do. We want you to go. We'll bless that work in every way that we can. Some of you have been there at different times, and I hope again in later times. But we also share in the reaping that has been going on there during these 45 years, because we are so tied to them from the very, very beginning. So we can thank God for the growth, for their faithfulness. A lot of those groups still are not able to meet face-to-face. So there are lots of them meeting still by Zoom, even after all this time. Some of the larger cities, of course, they are meeting face-to-face. But hopefully that will continue to get a lot better. And, of course, because of the long extended use of Zoom, an awful lot of people have dropped out, shall we say. And those who were sort of struggling in the first place, many of those across the country found it difficult, or for whatever reason, when the group started meeting face-to-face again, it was easier just to stay home, like they were used to for at least a couple of years, and not rejoin the fellowship and to do their own part in the local family. So we need to keep praying for those folks. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's fields, God's building. Again, there have been a great many people involved in sowing the seed, planting, watering it. And I guess that's basically what Luke and I do. We water these days, and others who go and try to encourage and build up and help in whatever ways we might be able to. But the growth, while the hard work was done by the Christians there in the country, it's God who gets the credit for the growth because of his providence, his blessing those people who have worked so hard and continue to work to keep the Lord's kingdom strong and active in that country. But we all share in what has happened there because, again, of our common connection. From you, Paul said, from you hath sounded forth the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith to God is gone forth. And perhaps in a more limited way, that's true of the North Terrace family, because we have been so intimately involved as a family for a very long time, and more willing shall continue to be, even though very few of us actually go to teach and preach and to encourage. All of us are involved in helping sustain and encourage that work. So, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So even though not every single one of us can go and be a part of that work physically, we all are a part of it, doing our own part. And there's no way to thank this congregation adequately for the tremendous kind of encouragement and support that has been given to me and to Luke, and perhaps to others occasionally, in that great work going on in that country. So those are the places we were able to visit this time. And again, I don't know why I didn't put my circle around Cali, just above Pope John over here. But geographically, we covered some space, obviously visiting only a few churches, less than 10, I guess, total. We can't even begin to touch the other 85, 87 or so. But then, of course, that wasn't our purpose this time. At least we've started to regroup more willing in October. I've been invited to go down to the Eva Gay and see it just over here, a little ways out of Bogota. Some of the preacher there, Rafael Amaya, and his wife, and some of the brethren continue to do their version of the summer camp for young people. And I've been invited to come down and teach the Bible lessons for that camp in October. I think Josh is determined to go with me as well, be a part of that. And he told me, he said, I'm committing myself to learn Spanish better. So he did wonderfully well while he was there. He didn't do any teaching or preaching, but he was quite the social butterfly and quite the attraction of a lot of the young people in particular. And I think they sensed that he has a Tesla. but they came around and were talking to him constantly, and he did a really good job of hanging in there, communicating. Luke did some translating, some others did some translating for him, and Natalia and Danny did earlier back in Bogota. But Josh represented himself and this family here really, really well, and just his presence was an encouragement to all of those people. So one more time, thank you for who you are, for the kind of spirit you've had for so many years in allowing this kind of us to be involved in the way we are in this kind of work. And may God continue to bless us to be able to do that in whatever ways possible. Thank you very much.